While they're fixing everything up here. You know, Father's Day, I know Mother's Day can be difficult for some people, but Father's Day might be more difficult for some. And, you know, if we're just being real transparent, you know, for some, Dad was never around. For some, didn't even know Dad. For some, maybe Dad didn't live up to expectations or worse. I know that, we know that happens. And then for some dads, this can be a difficult day because of family situations, or maybe they're frustrated, or a single dad, that happens. So I get that. And I know I've talked to people who have even had struggles connecting to God because God is represented in Scripture as Father. And so because of that, they've said, I can't connect to that. And I do understand that. And I hate that for them. And I know that a lot of times things in life don't live up to the ideal, but that's why we have the ideal. Because we can say, hey, this is this thing, this, and fatherhood in this case, this is the ideal. We strive for that. So I feel like even though this day can be difficult for some, we still celebrate it because we celebrate the ideal and we celebrate God who can be the ideal. And my heart breaks if you're in one of those situations I mentioned. You know, my dad passed at 2020, right before COVID, flew out there and got to be there with him when he passed. And then he had Alzheimer's 5 years before that. He didn't speak for 5 years. So every trip out there was actually more painful because I just hated seeing him like that. You know, a man who had just been, you know, an example to me my whole life, you know, loved God. I mean, I've told you this before, but countless times as a kid growing up, I'd hear something, get up in the night and go in, and he was praying. It was him praying in the living room, at the couch, just by himself. Great man of God. But I know how painful and how your heart can ache, and I hope that relationship you have is good. But we can still celebrate and honor what it is, and we can still strive for it and work toward it and make it better, even if it's our own fatherhood or those around us. And as kids, you know, we can look to dads. You know, dads aren't always perfect, but God gives us that. And what I really want to talk about today for a few minutes is that fatherhood of God, the idea that God is Father, that he himself can be a father to us like no other. And I've talked to people. I know I had a good friend. She was a product of a one-night stand. And for her, when she found out that God could be Father, changed her life forever. And I saw that. I didn't experience that. But seeing that through her was just a miraculous thing to me to watch that. What I love, too, is that Jesus modeled this relationship with God that was revolutionary to the people of Israel. Just so you have a framework, as a culture, they all saw themselves as the special children of God. But Jesus kept referring to his Father, and it bothered so much the religious establishment because they knew exactly what he was saying. He had a special relationship with God. I wanted to show you one quick picture of that. One of the views and the pictures into that we can see Jesus' relationship with his Father is on the night he was betrayed. Remember, I don't know if you remember, he knew he was going to the cross, and he orchestrated the whole thing. So they are there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Little plug here. By the way, you can go with us and be there in the Garden of Gethsemane in November. I know some people are like, are we still going? Yes. I believe all of this with Israel is going to be settled by then. But if you wanted to go, you can go on and go in the Bible app. The link is there and all that. But Jesus is there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I want us to look at what he does. It says, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. So I want you to think of this picture. He is crying out to his Father God, and he's in the deepest point of need. He told him, my soul is crushed with grief. The language here is just so beautiful. I'm crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little farther, and he fell to the ground. You see all the imagery here? He's crushed with grief, and he falls to the ground. And he prayed that if it were possible, this awful hour awaiting him might pass by. Here's what he says, Abba, Father. In his deepest point of need, he cries out to God in a very special way. And it's preserved for us in Scripture. Now, the New Testament's written in Greek, but that word Abba is actually Aramaic. You've probably heard that there's sometimes where there's Aramaic in the New Testament. This is one of those places. And this is actually the way the Jews still today would call their father. And I know different cultures have different terms for father, you know, and even you might have different terms, but this term is a very intimate term. And what I love in this passage here Both of those are preserved. Mark not only preserves what Jesus said, but then he uses the Greek form Father also. So it ends up being this Abba Father, this kind of a compound way of saying a deep relationship with your father. Now I've heard some pastors will say that he was saying daddy, and maybe he was, I don't know. I've never been comfortable with that personally. I've even been in church where a pastor might lead in prayer and say daddy instead of Father God or whatever. And that's fine. It might even be accurate. I don't know, for me it feels a little irreverent, almost too familiar. But here's the thing. God wants a relationship that is that close, that tender. And I don't know, when you refer to your father in a tender, respectful way, I don't know what term you use. I don't know. I love when my son calls me dad. Dad. I absolutely love it. It's a warm, beautiful name. And it's a title. It's an honor to be called that. And you might have a different term you use. I don't know. I've heard many times, you know, Frank Holzel passed away last week and Dave calls him Pops. And he means it in a deeply respectful way. So I don't know what term you use, but I just want you to understand Jesus was calling his father a very deeply respectful, intimate name there. That's the relationship he had. And I love my kids, all of them. I would do anything for them. Give them whatever time they needed or money or gifts or correction or instruction or advice. I love them. I accept them. I adore them. Cherish them. Cheer for them. I pray for them. I encourage them. I support them. I would do literally anything for them. And I'm far from the ideal father that God is. And yet that comparison fits. And if I'm a father and feel those things, imagine what God the Father feels for you, his children. Jesus actually used that same comparison at one point, and he said, it sounds kind of harsh, but he says, if you fathers and your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? If they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, imagine how much more your heavenly Father would give good gifts to those who ask him. He's using that same comparison that I'm trying to use. And if we have that ideal and we know kind of what an earthly father should live up to, imagine how much more a godly father wants to do for his children, which is you. I love that Jesus used that comparison. And because of what he has done and we've been joined into that family, then God becomes father to us like that. Let me give you an example. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8. He says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. He's your father. Now we call him Abba Father. Paul uses that same phrase, no doubt because it was recorded in Matthew and Mark, and because of that, that phrase ends up appearing in a couple different passages of scripture. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in this glory, we must also share in his sufferings. Another place it said is in Galatians. Paul uses it again. He says, because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. None of us are ever going to be where Christ was. In that garden where he was crying out to God at the point where he knew he was going to sacrifice his life. But at that point, maybe your point of need, you would cry out to him, Abba, Father. And that phrase, I mean, I don't use that when I'm praying. I could, I guess, you could. If that feels comfortable to you, do it. I use what's most comfortable to me, and that's calling him Father. And by that, I mean that intimate relationship with him. But if you use that, I mean, I think that's great. It's scriptural to say that. But what I want you to understand is that you, as God's children, have not only the honor, but it's expected that you would have that relationship with God the Father. So you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, that's confusing. Do we pray to him? Wait a minute. We have one God, right? But then it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? It's three in one. One God in three persons. Could you say that with me real quick? One God in three persons. Could you try that again? One God in three persons. I know it can be confusing. I'm asking you to say that. I mean, some skeptics complain unless they can fully conceptualize God and understand every part of it, then they can't believe it. We're talking about his nature. Can you say it with me again? One God in three persons. Jesus instructed us to pray to the Father in his name. But I know some people, they kind of get hung up on that. And it can be confusing, and I understand it's confusing. But even though we understand that we're at least two parts, we're physical and spiritual, we have a part of us that is separate from the body, yet housed in the body for this time, and when the body passes away, the spirit is gone. I mean, you know, and some people see it as three parts. I mean, different cultures have looked at it different, but I don't want to get into that today. The fact is, we're at least two parts for God to be, what was it? One God, three persons. One who, do you guys get this? No, one what, three who's. Okay, the reason I mention this, all of this, but is because there's a lot of things we don't fully conceptualize, yet we still understand. I mean, we don't have every detail about all of it. Think about this for a minute. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't understand everything about electricity, but I use it all the time. I don't understand everything about computers, but I use them every day. Our phones now are so much more powerful than anything we used to imagine. I don't understand monetary policy, but I use it, right? Cars, do you guys understand your car fully? You put the key in, right? Hopefully you put gas and you hopefully put oil. And you probably don't think about the fact that when you turn that key, it generates, a spark is generated. And somehow that spark gets to a piston and there's an explosion that happens in there. And that explosion separates and turns a crank that creates torque, right? You knew that, right? And somehow that gets to a differential that goes to a transmission transmission first to the differential, and hopefully your brake solenoids are all working correctly with your calipers. And you knew all that, right? But you just run the car. And yet, people put God to a standard that's really, really ridiculous, because they say, if I don't understand everything about him, then I'm not going to believe in him. And the fact is, yeah, he's complex, but so are you. And so are most of the systems we depend on every day. I mean, I don't fully understand love or hate or hope or women. You might be thinking, what? He's all over the place today. Kind of. But we are in the series about the 16 and the 16 fundamental truths. The fact is, in the Assembly of God, we've got these 16 core beliefs that we wanted to work through. And I thought this one was great that it was on Father's today, because today we're talking about the one true God and who he is. And he is Father. But I want you to understand that in the triune nature of God, that he is, help me with this again, one God. You tired of saying that yet? I want it so deep in your head that when you think about it, you think of him like that. He's one God in three persons. Do I understand it all completely? No. But I think you can get close, because he tells us a lot about it. But in the 16 fundamental truths, we believe this. He's one God, has revealed himself as the eternally self-existent, I am creator of heaven and earth and the redeemer of all mankind. He has further revealed himself as embodying the principles of relationship and association as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you might wonder, wait a minute, where do we get all this from? Where does it all come from? And I, you know, because some people have said, oh, the church made all this up years later after Jesus. And fact is, we get this where we get everything. And if you were here last week, you understand we get it all from the Bible. Because if you were here last week, you'll remember this, that all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teach us what is right. All we have to know, if we want to know about God, what we do is we look at scripture. Do I understand it all up here? Not necessarily, but I can see it in scripture. I know what it is because I see it in there. And what I see in there is one God. Thank you, three person. You want to see it with me? You ready? Let's look at it. So in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, it says, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone is one. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. That is the Shema that Jesus quoted when he was questioned about what was the greatest commandment. He named that. And then Look at all these scriptures. We're going to show you a bunch of scriptures today. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that. Look, while it's up on the screen, take a look at that in a second. In that one verse, you see the entire Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Can you say that with me again? One God, three persons. It's all right there. We don't make this up. All we do is we see it in there and give it a name. This is what it is. We see it right there plainly in Scripture. Another great example is when Jesus was baptized. This one comes from the book of Luke. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. He was praying. The heavens opened. The Holy Spirit in the bodily form descended on him like a dove. Then a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy." Do you see it? Right? Jesus is physically there in the water. The Spirit comes down in the form of a dove, and then God's voice speaks over him. Trinity. One God, three persons. You see it again. In fact, the word Trinity, and people have said, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Yeah, it's not. There's actually a lot of words we use that aren't in the Bible, but they're terms that we give to describe what we see in the Bible. It's similar to, there's a lot of things we do in life like that, that we have a group of things, and we say, that's what this is. The word Trinity actually means tri-unity. Probably didn't think about that, right? Trinity, tri-unity. So the three persons in the one God unity, tri-unity. That's how it works. Can you say that with me again? One God. You getting tired of that yet? Okay. Well, we'll keep saying it. Someone's tired already. Maybe you've never thought about the Trinity, and that's fine. Because maybe you have thought about it, and it kind of gave you a headache, and you thought, I don't know if I can figure all this out. That's okay. That's why we call it the adorable Godhead, because we worship him as God, and we don't understand every part of it, but all we do is we describe what we see in Scripture. And I literally could show you hundreds of scriptures if we had time today, which we don't. I know some of you have reservations but whenever people have asked me about the Trinity, I just show it to them in Scripture because it's right there everywhere. Paul in 2 Corinthians 13, he says, kind of as a benediction, he says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all three, one God, three persons. And John, Jesus is praying and he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. Now, I said I could show you 100 scriptures. We don't have time for that today. But if you're curious about that, I would encourage you to dive into this and take a look. If you look on our website, I put the link in your YouVersion Bible app. If you use that app, super easy to follow along with the notes. Every time I preach, I put the notes in there. And you can follow along. There's a link right there for our website. But you can easily just go to our website, hit the click, what we believe, and go down to this. And there is a section on there on the computer. It's probably that long with verses. You can look through every single aspect of it. We're not going to do that today. I'm going to highlight just a couple more. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about this for a second. Jesus is pointed to as God all over the New Testament, and we see it everywhere. In the book of Hebrews, it starts out. It's a beautiful, beautiful prologue. It says, long ago, God spoke to us many times and in many ways through our ancestors, through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. So you see there, not only is God speaking to us through his Son, so if you want to know what God is like, look at the Son, and then it says right there clearly that the Son created the universe. I didn't put this in here, but in the book of Genesis, it says in the creation, it says, let us create man in our image. And it's interesting because that term is plural. So some have said that all that refers to is the community of heaven, but that's not really what it says. God's speaking, and he says us. He's speaking in the plural there. Then it goes on to say, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command, and when he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. See, it's everywhere. Colossians 2:8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of the world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, so that you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. It's interesting too, when Jesus was here on earth, he accepted praise that should only go to God. He did it often. And in this case, this was after his resurrection. And you remember poor Thomas, I feel bad for him because he doubted, and now they call him Doubting Thomas forever. But 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with him because he wasn't there when Jesus appeared first. And what he said was, I'm not going to believe unless I touch his scars in his hands and feet and his side. So the doors were locked, but suddenly as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. That had to be a little scary, right? Just a little bit. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer, but believe. And Thomas exclaims, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Not only that, Jesus does things that only God could do. There's no question about the Trinity. One God, three persons. John describes it like this in the prologue to his book. He says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word meaning Jesus, talking about he was God. He existed in the beginning with God. And God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never, ever extinguish it. Not only that, he heals. Only God can heal. And I love this story. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but the story where the friends bring their paralytic friend to Jesus, and there's no room to get into the house where he's teaching, so they take the roof apart and lower him down. It's beautiful. It says, some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, that's blasphemy. Does he think he's God? Yes, yes, he does. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Happy Father's Day. You're still sitting here like, man, he is everywhere today. I am. I am everywhere today. But I'm coming back to Father's Day right here. When Jesus said, Abba, Father, he intended us for all of us to have that relationship with God. Now, I know the Trinity is a complex topic. We could teach for hours on it, days, books. That wasn't my goal today. I want you to see the Trinity. What I want you to do is every time you look at a passage of Scripture and see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, just to realize, oh my gosh, there it is again and again. And again, it's everywhere. What I really want you to do, though, is I want you to have a relationship with God the Father that Jesus had. Now, we're never going to be him, and we're never going to be part of the Trinity. I get it. But when he cried out to God and said, Abba, Father, and then when Paul echoes that later, that shows us that he intends for us to have a relationship with God that is far deeper and far more meaningful than even any human relationship. But God does this through Scripture constantly, where he uses human relationships as a metaphor to show us what we can have with God. And yes, the human relationships may never quite measure up to what God is, but at least you know what it can be and what it should be. And maybe today, maybe for you, there's been difficulties in life and you have had that rocky relationship instead with God the Father. Maybe there's times where he disappointed you or didn't come through as soon or the way you thought he should. Maybe there's times where your heart was broken and you turned away rather than turning toward him. I want to encourage you today to rearrange that relationship, to open your heart to him once again. And that, not that we would ever be in the same situation as Jesus in the garden, but if you were hurting that deeply, that your first response would to cry out, Abba, Father. God, I need you. I need you in this moment. Father God, I need you to come and be that Abba, Father to me, that dad that I need right now in this situation. And he does that. Does that for all of us. I use that verse from Romans, and I want us to look at it again. And now that we've done that, where we've looked and seen the Trinity everywhere, one God, three persons, you'll see it here even more clearly. Paul says, so you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit. You have God and spirit. When he adopted you as his own children, now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, now you have all three persons of the Trinity, with heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his sufferings. Now that was verse 15 to 17, but let's skip back to verse 1. This one's super familiar probably to most of you. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. That's the key. If you want to know God, you have to belong to Christ Jesus. That's how it works. And because you belong to him, the power of life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. For those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Regardless of your relationship with your earthly father or earthly kids, we need this relationship with God. God the Father, because of the Son, and then the Holy Spirit lives in us. I'm gonna ask you to shut your eyes for just a moment. I don't know where you're at with all of this, honestly. I don't know everybody here. And even if I know you, I don't know where you're at with this. I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know where you're at. But my deepest plea, my deepest cry for you is that you would know God like that Abba Father God. And you hopefully saw clearly that the path to that is having your sins forgiven, accepting Christ's sacrifice for you so that you can have that relationship with him. It's not super complicated, but it's also not always easy. But the fact is, it's available to all of you, and it's given as a gift. He paid the price for us. That's why Jesus, when he described all of this himself, he was trying to explain it to a religious ruler, and he said in John 3, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You can call him Abba Father today. And I never want to miss an opportunity for this, but if you're here today and you do not have that relationship but you want it, and you're ready to say, yes, God, I want a relationship with you, and I'm sorry for what I've done. I want Jesus' sacrifice to apply to me. It's pretty simple. If you would just acknowledge that, we would pray with you, and that would be done, and then you start that relationship today. Anybody like that want to start it today? Anybody at all? Everybody's eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. It's just you and God, really. I just want to see a hand so I can know who to pray for. That is it. Anybody like that, you'd raise your hand, and we could pray for you. Anybody at all? Give you a moment. All right. Let's do this for just a moment then. I don't know about you, but I feel like there's times where I've been closer or less close to God. And there's times where I stop and realize, God, I've just neglected that relationship with you. I'm sorry. I don't want it to be that way. I want us all to have that Abba Father relationship. Would you stand with me? Maybe for you, it just means you need to cry out to him for a moment. Maybe for you, it just means that you haven't personally given him the time that relationship requires. Just want to encourage you to do that today. And I want you to live in the beauty that is that Abba Father relationship that you can have. So I just want to pray for you all. We do have people that are always willing to pray for you up front. If you need prayer for anything else, anything special, maybe that. Maybe healing, maybe something going on that you want prayer for. And if you are one of those, one of our prayer people, would you come up real quick and as I close in prayer, feel free to jump out and come down, and one of these will pray with you. They'll stand with you. Even if you have something that's private, you just want to tell them, hey, I just need prayer. They'll pray for you. That's what we're here for. But let me close in prayer for all of us and just bless you as you head out of here today. Father, we're grateful that you are that Father that desires a relationship where we would call you Abba Father, that we would call you Dad, that we would call you some intimate relationship Father title, because we love you like that. We're grateful that you are that, that you have sacrificed your Son for us so that we could have that relationship with you. We're grateful that your Spirit lives in each of us. And we just ask, God, for a closer and closer relationship with you. I pray also for every one of these fathers in this room. God, I pray for their relationships, that you would make them the best they could ever be. God, I pray you would bless each and every one of them today. Bless each of us, even those of us who still have a father living, God, that you would just bless that relationship with you today. And I pray that you would bless every single one as they head out of here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you head out into the lobby, you'll notice there's a spot that Pastor Nick created for you to take pictures with dads. You'll notice there's some hats on there. Those hats will be for sale next week if you're interested. So we'll have those for sale next week. But leave them up there now so for the pictures. But bless you guys.